This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
You need guys who have upside and potential, and yet that's something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Bleacher Report, Stick to Football Podcast, brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Matt, it was in this very segment that we were talking about my Heisman Trophy vote, and you just sort of put it out there to voters and say, look, write Tua Tagovailoa's name in there and don't worry about it and be done with it. You know, I'm glad I didn't take your advice so I could see that last day. But also, I agonized over it, and I, you know, I can't reveal who it was until after the award is announced based on the rules of the balloting. But I agonized over it because there is no wrong answer, I think, between the top two contenders.
Yeah, I think that it's tough, right? And some of the things that I've talked to other voters about is that how do you take one game of Tua's where he was hurt? And I think that's the key is do you punish a guy for getting hurt and trying to play through it? Or do you look at it and say, oh, well, you know, gutty performance, it's a SEC championship game. He went out there not at 100% and tried to give it a go and couldn't. Or do you say, on a day where he was below average, Dwayne Haskins was fantastic, Kyler Murray was once again fantastic. And I think this is like, there's not a wrong answer this year. There's really not. I still feel like I said on the podcast this week, my vote would go to Tua. I think he is the most outstanding college football player in the country this year. And sometimes that doesn't mean he has the best stats. Sometimes it doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to have a rough game out there. I think you can look at Kyler Murray had the first go around against Texas or the game against Army where his numbers weren't as good. But it's one of those years where, like, you really don't want to, like, crap all over one kid to make another look good. Like, they're both fantastic football players and they're both very exciting. And I know I actually talked to one voter, I guess, on Saturday. I was like, you know, Kyler Murray's done after this year playing college football. He's going to go play baseball for the A's. Tua has next year. And so let's just give Kyler the award this year. Tua's going to have another shot at it. Murray isn't. And he felt like that was one of the deciding factors for him was that this is a one-and-done type guy, so let's give him this award while we can.
That seems really weird to me, but I guess if that's the way they want to do it, I suppose they can. I feel like Kyler has $4.5 million coming to him from the A's. What the hell does he need a Heisman Trophy for? Just as a scouting exercise, Matt, Tua remains, I would imagine, the top pro-ready. I know he's not eligible, but your top pro quarterback. How would Kyler Murray equate to an NFL quarterback job from your eye?
It's really tough because he's incredibly efficient. He's an explosive dual threat. I mean, he's so incredibly quick and instinctive, but the hard thing is that he's so small. I mean, he's so incredibly small. And I know that we've moved past that a little bit. You know, you can look at Baker Mayfield, who's, you know, 6 foot tall, but Baker Mayfield's like 220 pounds. Kyler Murray's probably like 180. So there's a major difference there. It's not just that he's short, but he's actually a very small player. And I think we're going to see that Saturday night when he stands next to Dwayne Haskins and Tua on the stage. You're going to be like, oh, my God, like, is this a slot receiver winning the Heisman? No, it's a quarterback. But he is so small that I think there would be concerns there. Again, the Army game, the Oklahoma State game, the first game against Texas, you can look at and say, man, you know, when defenses were able to slow him down as a runner, he really struggled. Lamar Jackson was a late first-round pick as a similar type of player, and he's quite a bit bigger. So I think if you go into it with that as your baseline, then you could probably say Kyler Murray would be, you know, maybe like a late day two pick. But again, so much of a quarterback evaluation starts now. And it's, you know, things like football IQ. What are you asked to do? You know, throwing into tight windows, throwing with anticipation, getting the ball out quickly within the pocket. All the things that made Baker Mayfield a great quarterback in that system, it would be trying to figure out if Kyler Murray is that same guy, or, you know, if it was a little bit of the system that allowed him to have such a great year. Because I'll tell you, I have to eat some crow about this. I did not expect him to be good. Not even, I didn't expect him to be this good. I didn't expect him to be good, because what we saw at Texas A&M was so bad from Kyler Murray, and then he shows up at Oklahoma and has a Heisman-type year. It's really pretty fascinating.
Watching Tua, it's weird to see a lefty quarterback for those of us that watch the NFL. I don't know when we realized this, but there are no left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL. There's no Mike Vick. There's no Mark Brunell. Just not the, is that just happenstance, or is there a scouting reason for it?
I don't think there's a scouting reason. It's just kind of weird, right? My buddy Chris Sims is a lefty, and you know, it's like once a couple of those guys got out of the league, it's just not something you see very more. And I've been asked this question quite a bit this year. I don't think there's any like real reason for it. You know, it's not that, oh well, defenses are, you know, predominantly right-handed, so you get all the pressure coming off the right side of the defense, which goes right into the face of a left-handed quarterback. Like it's not really like that. It's just that for whatever reason, and I honestly don't know what percentage of the population is left-handed. Maybe it's just that, you know, there's X amount of people who are left-handed. And then when you narrow that down and look at, I mean, how many of us right-handed idiots couldn't play quarterback in the NFL? So by the time you pare it down, there just might not be many. And Tua will be. I mean, he absolutely will be an NFL quarterback. I think there was a little bit of premature hype about him being, you know, the, you know, surefire number one pick next year. He still has some issues that he has to iron out as a prospect, but it's pretty exciting to see he and Jake Fromm head into next year, and maybe Justin Herbert too, and say that maybe that 2020 quarterback class could be pretty good.
So, Matt, I'm reading this thing on Sports Illustrated that was a mix between what if Nick Saban went to the NFL and just a love letter to Nick Saban. So, you know, it's back and forth on a thing. But if he wins a national title with Tua, he will have the most national titles in college football history as a head coach. I guess you could say he slayed the dragon. He's at the top of the mountain. That happens. Are there coaches other than Saban? And how does Saban fit for you back in the NFL? What college coaches fit best in today's modern NFL?
Well, I think Lincoln Riley is the one that would fit best in the modern NFL. You know, everybody's in love with Sean McVay and, to some extent, Kyle Shanahan and Matt Nagy and trying to go more towards an innovative, young offensive mind. I think Lincoln Riley definitely fits that bill. With Nick Saban, like some of the things I worry about, he's 67 years old, which isn't, you know, it's not that old. My dad's a little bit older than that, but it's like, that's pretty old to take on starting over in the NFL. And I think one thing that's different between college, Saban has reached, like you said, the top of the mountain. Like him being Nick Saban and Alabama being Alabama recruits for itself. And he can go get any player basically in the country he wants, unless the kid was born in Auburn, Alabama or Baton Rouge. You can't do that in the NFL. And I think that's where the struggles that he had before came from. Not even just the Drew Brees versus Dante Culpepper decision, but a lot of the decision-making that happened there where you have to turn over your roster and you can't do it by just being charming and flashing all your national championship rings and getting, you know, 5- and 4-star guys to come play for you at an alarming rate where it's like they're too deep is an All-American game. In the NFL, you can't do that, as you guys know. You know, you have to scout. You have to develop. And I don't know that that's his game. I think he's the greatest college football coach of all time. Let's just let him be that. And he tried his hand in the NFL, and it didn't work. And that's okay. Let's just let him be who he is. But I would look at Lincoln Riley. I look at Matt Campbell. I still think Chris Peterson at Washington would be great for the pro game, even though he doesn't have that. He's not the guy that you would be like, oh, this is a great offensive, you know, mind, or it's not a great, he's not doing anything defensively that just makes you think, oh my God, we have to hire him. But look at what he did at Boise, turned them into a national contender, beat Oklahoma, and now at Washington, where they're churning out pro level players at every position. And there's just the way the program is run. So Chris Peterson would be great. David Shaw would be great at Stanford. I don't know if he's ever going to leave there. But those are the guys that, and obviously Matt Campbell at Iowa State, who I'm a huge fan of, and I think we could see him get into the league this year. Those are the guys that jump out to me as if I were going to hire a college coach, that's probably where I would start.
You did not mention Pat Fitzgerald, despite some rumors that cropped up regarding his connection to the Packers.
I love Fitz. I do. You know, I could see that. Like, he's tough, and if they want to kind of go with the no-nonsense, you know, guy to come in. But he has his dream job, is what it sounds like, at Northwestern. So I don't know if there's a whole lot of, you know, hurry up for him to jump out of there and leave. And we're going to hear so many things about that Packers job, guys, because it's a new GM that nobody really has, like, a finger on the pulse of. And there's going to be some wild stories out there. It's going to be funny when, at the end of the day, they just hire Josh McDaniels. And there's going to be all this smoke about Pat Fitzgerald or, you know, Matt Campbell. Are they going to get Bruce Arians out of retirement? And they're just going to go hire, like, the most cookie-cutter hire they can make and just bring in Josh McDaniels.
I want to talk about Aaron Donald from a scouting perspective and a lesson learned perspective, perhaps, because if I remember, we talked about him as a Senior Bowl participant, that Aaron Donald was not a guy who was just sort of off the charts, but that scouts said, wow, we just wait, this guy's going to be one of the greatest three techniques that's ever lined up. It took time, and he flashed at the Senior Bowl. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just my memory. I remember talking to, it was at you and talking to Matt Bowen about it, that, and they said, hey, you know what, this Aaron Donald could be something. What does it say? What lessons can be learned in general about football scouting for somebody like that who rises late, who is a much, much better pro than maybe it took time to realize?
You know, I think with Aaron Donald specifically, the lesson is that sometimes there are players that are so good that you have to ignore, you know, the measurables. And I guess you could say the same thing about Russell Wilson, but I think Aaron Donald's much better at his position. But the fact that he's 6'1", 285 pounds when he was coming out of Pitt, that was all anyone could talk about. I mean, no one talked about just how incredibly productive he was in college, and he was. I mean, he was great at Pitt. I mean, and that would be the argument fans would say, but, you know, this guy had he had like 28 and a half tackles for a loss last year at Pitt, 11 sacks. How the hell is this guy not a first rounder? And the only thing you could say to that is, well, he's small. And so I think that's one thing, and Baker Mayfield might be the same way, where you look at everything is great, right? Oh, my God, he's great leader, he's athletic, he's tough, but he's 6 foot tall. So I think that's the thing where you have to sometimes know when to say, it's okay. Johnny Manziel is probably the other side of that, of, oh, he's really small, but he was also a horrible person, you know, off the field in terms of, you know, just being a responsible human being. So it's just knowing when it all matches up, where you can comfortably say, yeah, I'm cool with the fact that Aaron Donald's probably 6'1", 285, and know that might not traditionally fit. But when you have his speed, his hand usage, his instincts, and for being such a, like, quiet, nice guy off the field, he puts the pads on, and he is a mean SOB. And I think that's where you got to be like, oh, my God, he has all these great traits put together. Let's not worry about how big he is. And the Senior Bowl should have proven that for everyone. I looked up quickly. I had him ranked number 11 overall in that draft class, which is embarrassingly low. I mean, he should have been top five. And that was a good year with guys like Khalil Mack and Jadeveon Clowney. He should have been higher. Having him at 11 was probably purely because of seeing him dominate at the Senior Bowl against, you know, bigger pro style offensive linemen, and saying, okay, well, he still can't be stopped against these guys. And you have great athleticism. I remember his combine performance, even just being like, this dude ran like a 4.68 as a defensive tackle. That stuff doesn't happen. And so it really should have been, in hindsight, it's easy to say this, but it should have been so obvious just how good he was.
Matt, apropos of a conversation Dan and I were having a little earlier in the show, we are taking a straw poll throughout the day. Please name your favorite sports blunder of all time, your favorite sports blooper of all time.
Oh my gosh, that's a tough one. Probably the Leon Lett trying to run the ball in and Don Beebe swatting it out of his hand.
Okay, all right.
So I might be dating myself a little bit, but no, that one's way that up one. There.
I remember staying up late and watching that ball
game. The reason it came up is that now that Mark Sanchez is thrust back into action, he was asked by a reporter about what it means to be associated with the butt fumble, and my contention is that the infamous butt fumble is the funniest. I think it is the best, most evergreen, almost perfect sports blooper. You know, it's not some grisly injury. It's not, you know, it's not the agony of defeat. It's not, it is just on the field of play.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a man running into his teammate's ass and fumbling the ball and falling quickly enough to look cartoonish.
Yeah, can I change mine? I realized I went football because that's my job. But my favorite of all time is Lucas Duda overthrowing home when Eric Hosmer ran in the World Series. That's my favorite. Like, if I could just, like, I remember watching that, and I'm very superstitious. So I was in my office at my old house upstairs, kids asleep. It's late. You know, this game's going forever. And I lost it. I mean, I'm, like, jumping up and down, screaming. My ex-wife runs upstairs like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, you don't even know. Like, you can't even understand what just happened. I was freaking out. So that's the one where definitely, like, the most memorable for me.
Done. You have been so registered as Lucas Duda overthrowing home, your favorite sports blooper of all time. Excellent. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
That is Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.